ready for the word? Okay, I'm so excited because we have to finish the word from last week. I hope I can finish it. We're going to do the best we can. If you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 10 through 12. We are talking about the process of releasing supernatural provision. The process of releasing supernatural provision. And if my testimony this morning about what's happening with us for Christmas for San Jose doesn't prove this text to you today, I don't know what will. But I believe not only am I teaching this because this is the truth and it is God's word, but I believe in this word and I am seeing this word living and active happening right here in the life of this church over and over and over again. Somebody say amen. How many of you say, I don't just need God to provide, I need him to provide supernaturally? Raise your hand. All right, I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right folks, because if you just want God to meet your need, this might not be the message for you. But if you need God to supernaturally do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask, think, hope, or imagine, you need God to overflow. You need God to show up and show out like never before. I need you to begin to say, this is for me, and start to give God some praise, because this word is a releasing word. It will change your entire life if you can grab hold of it. Somebody say amen. Now, don't get quiet on me now, because I'm about to talk about you. You saw the scripture. That's what it was. Y'all saw Malachi 3, and you thought, And all of a sudden, all the joy we had then got sucked out of the life of the room. She about to talk about tithing. I am. But I want to tell you that tithing, this passage is tithing of tithing, is not about what God can get from you. This passage is all about what God is trying to do for you. And if you'll grab hold of that, you'll never see tithing. You'll never see what God is doing the same way again, because you'll understand that God is not after your money. He's after changing you so that he can do for you everything he's promised he wants to do for you. Somebody say amen. All right, Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 12. I should have said that before I said the scripture. Maybe I'd have got a few more amens. All right, let's go. If you have your Bibles, do me a favor. Lift up your Bibles. Hold your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let us say our Bible affirmation together. But before we do, I keep forgetting. Yay, Trishy's home. Miss Patricia's here all the way from Oregon visiting this weekend. If those of you don't know, she was my assistant for years and is a key reason why this church has moved in the direction that it has because of all of her hard work. So thanks, Trish. It's good to see you home. Amen. All right, ready? This is my Bible. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Wait. I want to read this again, and I want you to read it like you mean it. Because he's like, I can have what it says I can have. I want you to read like, I can have what it says I can have. All right, let's try this again. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Get an attitude. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Y'all ready for it? All right, let's go. Malachi 3, 6 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Ready? Now let's read this with the same enthusiasm. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Father, thank you so much for this word. I declare that we will not only hear it, we will be people who will receive it, apply it, and do it. And that, Father God, when we do, we will see, I declare, supernatural provision released over everyone in this house and everyone who hears this message through podcast. Thank you, Father God, for the release that is about to happen right now. Holy Spirit, move me aside. Come in, have your way, and teach this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week, let me sum this up pretty quickly, because if you missed last week's teaching, you can go catch it on the podcast. And I do believe that it was on Facebook Live. So if you want a video of it, you can go back to our Rohi Church family group and you can be able to see the video through there. The reason why we keep doing that is I'm not quite ready to release a lot of our videos to the general public. I only do Facebook Live inside of our church family group. So the only way you'll get to see a live stream of service right now is if you go to Rohi Church slash family under the Facebook group, and you'll be able to get it. Just because, I don't know, I just don't want to start hearing a whole lot of negative talk about stuff yet. I just want to make sure we teach the word here, and we'll let God do the rest. Because so many people are just obliterating words through, you know, just somebody preach something, and they don't understand, they don't get it. I just don't feel like fighting the devil yet. The Lord ain't told me to do it yet. But when he does, get ready, people. So anyway, go back and check that out. But basically, here's the gist of what we talked about. What we talked about is that this passage in Malachi, the people had started to walk away and veer from God. And God says, look, you need to come back to me. And they say, all right, well, how will we come back? And they're thinking God is going to say stuff like, read your Bible more, come to church more, do that. God says, no. He answers their question with another question. He says, will a man rob God? And they're thinking, wait, that's strange. Well, how are we robbing you, God? I mean, what are we doing wrong? And he says, you're robbing me in your tithes and offerings. And they're like, what are you talking about? And we talked last week a little bit about how God blesses us, and 10% of what he gives us belongs to him. And anytime we take that 10% and use it for something else, we've just robbed God. So let me give you a quick illustration that we talked about last week. Watch this. Most people think the tithe belongs to God the moment we give it, but that's not the case. The tithe belongs to God the moment you get it. So as soon as, in modern day times, y'all got direct deposit, somebody say hallelujah for direct deposit, because I can't stand standing in line at the bank for nothing. Come on, I praise the Lord. I haven't had to go to the bank to stand in the line and do nothing in I don't know how many years now. Thank God for direct deposit. Even you can deposit checks on your phone now. Watch this. The moment direct deposit hits, the first 10% of that is God's. Now, anytime you start spending money on something else, you have just stolen from God. And what we talked about last week is God don't need your money, because I know some of y'all are like, all the people in church, only thing they want is your money. All they talk about is tithes and offerings. God, and I backed off of teaching about tithes and offerings a lot. And the reason I backed off is because of that mentality. People are like, oh, they just trying to take my money. But the Lord corrected me and he said, I'm not trying to. He said, do I need them people's money? If I was going to do something in this house, I could do it. Did I not prove to you through all the testimony that God don't need your money to do what he's trying to do in this house? He will provide how he wants to provide. So it's really not about us getting your money. You know what this is all about? This is all about God saying, look, I'm trying to do something inside of you for you. And if you will just simply obey me, watch this, you'll begin to see something miraculous happen. He said, what will happen is, test me in this, and see if I won't throw open for you the window of heaven and pour out such blessing. Now, you have to catch this. What we talked about last week was, you're giving God 10%. This is going to be so lopsided. You give God 10% of what you make. And I don't know, if you make $1 billion, that's still not a whole lot of money to God. And God said, you give me your little money and watch me throw open the window of heaven and pour out for you everything. So much blessing. This is a lopsided thing. So while you keep thinking about I'm giving God this much and it's so much of my money, God is like, do you realize what I'm trying to do for you? Do you know how much heaven has? Have everything belongs to God. He's like, I'm leaving the window open so you can just, whatever you need, just rain down, pour on you whenever you need it, however you need it. But we get it kind of lopsided. And then he goes on to say, he said, and see if I will not throw up open for you the window of heaven and pour out such blessing. That word blessing in the Hebrew is the word barak or baraka. And basically that word means a pronunciation of God basically saying, I'm going to pour out such baraka or such blessing on you. It is more than just money. In our society, we think blessing means cash. But I want you to know when God says I'm pouring out baraka, he's not just saying I'm pouring out cash on you. And this is part of the reason why we struggle to see the supernatural provision of God is because we keep looking for a check. God, I tithe today. I'm going to my mailbox. Is there a check? He wasn't faithful. But let me tell you, your financial issue is not a problem for God. It's easy for him. God's challenge is to get you to grow and learn how to handle things like a king or a queen in the kingdom of God so that he can give you more. He who is faithful with little, come on, somebody, he will entrust, come on, that's what the window of heaven is about. He will entrust you with much. Baraka is a proclaimed blessing. It is spoken out and it comes upon you and it attaches to you so that even if you move, even if you go somewhere else, that blessing is still on you and God is still doing stuff for you. Now, let's talk about that. Yes, some people said, well, why do we care about God opening up his mouth and giving a blessing? Well, we talked about last week how Genesis, the earth was without form and void and God spoke. And we compared that to your bank account. And we said how your finances are without form because there's no budget or plan how to solve your money. And your bank account is void. It ain't got no money. And things look dark. And what did God do in Genesis? He spoke a word. And when he spoke a word, he created all of this earth with a word in 6 days. So you may say, what difference does it make if God speaks a word to me? If God spoke a word and formed the entire universe with a word, what you think he gonna do over your little financial situation with a word? So we keep trying to get money and God keeps saying, you just need to get a word. Because if you get, I ain't get a whole lot of amens because you're missing it, but that's right, I'm gonna prove this so hard today, you're gonna be shouting by the time I'm done with this. If you will just get a word from God, then you will begin to see supernatural provision release. So we talked about, well, what is the process? The process is found in Luke 6. You don't have to turn there. Whoever comes to me, hears my sayings, and does them, he's going to be like a man who's planted on solid ground. When storms come, he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to be fine. Why? Because he's founded on the rock, which is God's word. So what's the process? It's come to Jesus, hear his sayings, and do them, and then you'll release supernatural blessing in your life. And some people are like, I don't think that makes sense because I just believe money will solve my problem. I really kind of don't want to get a word from God because I don't think it's going to do anything. And I'm going to tell you, if that's your thinking, that's probably why you're going to stay bound financially. Because the standard system of the Bible is come, hear, do. And so we concluded last week with the story of the wealthiest man on earth who ever lived, which was Solomon. And Solomon was David's son. And Solomon had offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. And after he offered those 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord, God showed up that night. And he said, Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? What do you want? Now, at that moment, he could have said, I want all the riches in the earth. I want fame. I want popularity. You know what he said? He said, give me wisdom. And I was asking myself, why did he ask for wisdom? The reason he asked for wisdom is because his father, David, taught him to seek wisdom above all else. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it's mostly written by Solomon. And in Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 4, 3, he says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one inside of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my command and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Over and over and over, David told Solomon, get wisdom, boy. Get wisdom, boy. If you get wisdom, boy, everything's going to change for you. Wisdom is the most important thing you can get. So when God shows up and asks Solomon, what's the one thing you want? Solomon has been taught all of his life, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. He says, God, give me wisdom that I can lead, not only just wisdom, but give me wisdom so I can lead these great people of yours. You have given me an assignment. So God, give me wisdom so I can carry out the assignment you've given me well. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, because that's where we're going to pick up my message today. 2 Chronicles 1, 11. This is God's response to him saying, give me wisdom so I can govern your people well. Then God said to Solomon, look, because this was in your heart and you have not asked for riches or wealth. He said, look, you could have asked for riches. You could have asked for wealth. You could have asked for honor, or you could have asked for the life of your enemies. Nor have you even asked me for long life. You could have asked me to live a long time. But what, because you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king, verse 12, he says, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. He says, what you asked, I'm going to give you. But watch this. And, somebody say and. How many of y'all want God to say and to you? And means in addition to what you asked for, come on, here's the supernatural. I'm going to give you more. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Check this out. God said, you want wisdom, right? I get it. But watch this. The Bible says if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. Solomon didn't ask for riches and wealth and honor. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, let me add on top of that for you. What am I trying to tell you? If you ask God for a word from him, if you ask God for wisdom from him, he'll add the rest of the stuff to you. But we're looking for the stuff instead of seeking God's face, and we're wondering why we're still stuck and struggling financially. No, watch this. Not only did Solomon have rich and wealth, but his honor was so great that nobody in all of history has ever compared to the wealth and the fame and the honor of Solomon. Tell me that's not throwing open the window of heaven and pronouncing such a blessing over you. Now, who wrote most of the book of Proverbs? Solomon, right? Now watch this. Proverbs 3, 13 through 14 says this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now watch this. Happy is the man who finds what? Watch this. Verse 14. For her proceeds, who's her? Wisdom. So for wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. Watch this. He said, look, man, there is no return on investment from silver, gold, or stocks that is as good as the return on investment you get when you get the wisdom of God. Okay, nothing compared to that. Watch this. Verse 15 says, Proverbs 3:15, she is more precious than rubies. That means wisdom. And all the things you may desire cannot compare to the wisdom you're going to get from God. Now check this out. Length of days is in her right hand, but what's in her left hand? Riches. Oh, y'all missing this. Wisdom got length of days in her right hand. That means long life. And wisdom has riches and honor on the left side. Now, you're seeking the left hand, which is the riches and honor from God, but you're not seeking wisdom. If you seek wisdom, you'll get the riches and honor and long life. Wisdom comes equipped with two hands. Sounds a lot like seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will come unto you, don't it? But what do we keep trying to go after? What's in her left hand? God, if you can just give me, look, God, I got this light bill. It's $50. If I can just get $50 from you, God. God is like, dude, I'm $50, please. $50 is like a grain of sand on a beach. That ain't nothing to me. If you'll seek me, I'll give you the whole beach. But you looking for a grain of sand? Seek me. Seek me for wisdom. Seek my face. Come talk to me about what do. If you come talk to God and just say, God, what do you want me to do? Instead of saying, God, can you just give me? That's the practical of it. How many times do we start our prayers with, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, bless mom, bless daddy. Now, here's what I need. Instead of just saying, Lord, I just want you. I want you, and I need a word from you. If you give me a word, I'll know what to do in every situation. I just want to talk to you. God says, okay, I'll give you wisdom, Solomon, but I'll also add all this other stuff. See, this is the difference between how God works and how the world works. Watch this. I'm trying to show you the process for how you release supernatural provision. It does not come from seeking God's hand. It comes from seeking God's face. I need you, God, to do more than take care of my finances, God. I just need you. Okay, watch this. Money is not your problem. Say that with me. Say, money is not my problem. Some of y'all got free just saying that. Money is not your problem, nor is it your solution. And God is saying, I have to raise you up to think about what's important and what I've called you to do and whose lives will be changed. The money will come if you just do what I tell you to do. Now, let me start talking to you about supernatural things because most people don't understand this. Because when we think of supernatural stuff, we think of superhero stuff. Like they're going to come in, like, you know, with the arm, like with the BAM sign and the sparks, you know. We kind of think supernatural is something that is, boom, so big that we just kind of, we can't miss it. But let me tell you, the supernatural is often missed around us. Jesus, the Son of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, was healing all kinds of diseases, casting out demons, walking on water, stopping storms, but it's a whole lot of people who never even noticed him. And they were like, ain't nothing spectacular over there to see. I'm going, the man walking on water. You gonna tell me that ain't spectacular? He lays hands on people by the power of the living God. They're healed, but you don't see nobody glowing like they do in pictures with a yellow frisbee around the top of their head, buzzing in the air, flying around with pixie dust everywhere, coming down, saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. You don't see none of that. You don't see any of that in the Bible. And so, let me tell you something. God could work like that if he wanted to. And every once in a while, we have something like that will happen. When Elijah prayed for the prophets of Baal and fire fell down from heaven, I'm pretty sure that was a spectacular sight. But often, God does something spectacular that doesn't look anything like what we thought it would. You lay your hands on somebody and you're expecting them to bounce up and be healed right there. That's what we want. But sometimes it don't work like that. Sometimes we lay our hands on somebody and they still leave looking the same way they were when they came. But you give it time. And healing comes. Sometimes they go back to the doctor and they don't even realize. Do the first cancer scan and they see the mass. And somebody prays and they don't know what's happening. They don't know what's going on internally. But they go back and they take the next cancer scan and the mass is completely gone. And the doctor is sitting there going, we don't know what happened. That's not a lightning bolt experience for a lot of people. Look. God set it up so that the supernatural happens and it's going to look very natural. The process is going to look normal. Why? Why wouldn't God just do that? Because I would say, God, if you would do lightning bolt experiences every day, then so many more people would come to you. I believe, what would it look like if God gave all Christians the supernatural gift or the superpower of flying? If every Christian, once you became a Christian, you got the supernatural power to fly. So now all the Christians are walking around on the earth like this. Oh, and all the people who ain't saved, we know you ain't saved because you ain't flying. So all the people, so we like flying everywhere. It takes us like 5 minutes to get to New York from California. And we're like, oh, and then, but watch this. You would then say all the people who are not saved would be like, well, heck, I want to fly too. So tell me about Jesus so I can fly. And I'm just like, well, God, why don't you do that? Because God says, I don't want people to believe me because of what they see. I want people to believe me because I said something. And that should be enough. I said they're going to be healed. Can you still believe me? I said you're going to come out of this situation. Can you still believe me? That's why he says we walk by faith and not by sight. It was enough people chasing God. Because see, if you see it, then you start chasing the miracle. You don't start chasing the God of the miracle. And he said, I don't want them chasing me for the miracles. I want them to chase me for me. That's why Jesus flew under the radar so much. Because he was like, look, of course I can feed all y'all, but come on now. What good? As a matter of fact, he got to one point where the crowds kept showing up because he was feeding thousands of people at a time, and the crowds would be showing up. They was like, where the food? Where the food? Where the food? He was like, look, I'm trying to give you the bread of life, and y'all talking about where the food? He was like, psh, enough of that. He pulled away, the Bible says, and went to a quiet place. Jesus never had a problem with crowds. They could show up at any moment, but he wasn't trying to please the crowd. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get people to follow him because they loved him. God opens the windows of heaven and, unlike the world, gives you an ability to hear from him. When he opens the window of heaven and pronounces a blessing on you, a part of the blessing is your ears get open to hear the voice of God. The rest of the world don't get that. He speaks a word, and when he speaks, the power of God has been committed to bring that word to pass. He will do what he said he's going to do when he talked to you. This is the process. Come, hear, do. And if you do that, you will be on solid financial ground. Now, let me prove this to you, because y'all don't like this. 1 Kings 17. I thought she was going to tell me to pay $20, and then I was going to get my miracle. That ain't what we're doing here. If you want to give $20, make sure it's because God told you to give it, not because you're saying a miracle going to come for $20. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be real disappointed. I ain't got no prayer cloths. I ain't got no oil to sell you. I ain't got no holy water to give you. What I got to give you is the word of God. If you will get his word, come on, somebody. And I'm going to spend the rest of my time proving to you in scripture, just get his word. Watch this. 1 Kings 17. This is about Elijah. Elijah, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord of God Israel lives, before whom I stand, watch this, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Let me tell you something. That's a bold statement to stand up and say, ain't going to be no rain until I say it's going to rain. But Elijah heard from the Lord and said, tell the people, ain't going to be no rain until you speak it. So, for 3 years, no rain fell on the land. Now, check this out. If no rain is falling, that means a drought is happening. And if a drought is happening, that means there are no crops. And if there are no crops, that means people starve to death and they die because they don't have food and they don't have water. But God speaks a word, not money, in this situation. God told him to say, ain't gonna be no rain. But then I would be, if I was Elijah, I'd be like, well, if ain't going to be no rain, how I'm going to eat? If I die, who's going to be alive to speak the word to bring the rain back? That would be my conversation with God. Somebody say words. But God continues and he provides words, because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The biggest blessing we have is that God speaks to us. So watch this, verse 2. Watch this. Then the word of the Lord came to him. God spoke and says, check out the instruction. Get away from here and go eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God says, here's the instruction. Y'all are waiting for him to get a supernatural resource of water and some food and a shelter. He just go over there and get food and shelter. God said, no, I ain't going to work like that for you. He said, I'm going to send you by this one particular brook. What if Elijah said, I don't want to go to that brook. I don't like that neighborhood. I don't want that brook. I want something. Look, you know what? I'd rather go to the brook on the east side instead of the brook on the west side. But if he follows the instruction and drinks from the right brook that God led him to, provision will be there. How did provision come? Was it money? No, it was instruction. It was the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is different than the wisdom of the world. The world is saying, look, you got to go over here because this is where we know it's going to flow for the longest. And God is like, no, go over to that brook over there at Cherith. He says, because I sent my power for you over at that particular brook. But yeah, God, ain't nobody else doing that. I ain't talked to everybody else. I'm talking to you. This is the way provision works. Verse 5. So what did Elijah do? He came to Jesus. He heard, or came to God, heard it. And the Bible says, and he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Some of us come to God and we hear, but we don't do. And we wonder why supernatural ain't released. Some of us come to God, hear the word, and complain about the word so much. That's hard, God. Anybody got time to be going all the way over there? Think about this. If I got to go to that brook, that means I probably got to pick up and move and go live by that brook. I don't want to go live over there. How many times does God give us a word and we don't like the instruction? Stay at that job. Oh, can't stay in that job, no way. God said, no. If you stay at that job, that's where I'm going to provide for you. God, you know them people don't like me and I don't like them. No, stay at the job. Watch this. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows in the Jordan. Now, here's the second part of it. God said, I'll provide ravens for you. First of all, a bird dropping food. I'm a little shaky on that from a cleanly perspective, but I guess God figured it out. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I'm like, think about this. It didn't say one raven brought him bread and meat. It said ravens. You know how big their beaks are? How much bread and meat can they really carry at a time? You ever think about that? So I'm thinking they're probably bringing morsels, like enough to chew a bite at a time. I would have a slight attitude about that. First of all, it's been in something else's mouth. And second of all, it's coming in bite size. It's not like formed in a nice little hamburger meal. Like if you think he's bringing hamburgers from McDonald's in a raven's mouth, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're strong, but it had to be broken up. I have an issue. But the Lord said, that's why I told Elijah to do this and not you. You have to think about how illogical this sounds. How many times does God tell us to do stuff that seems absolutely illogical? And we are breaking down piece by piece how this just don't make no natural sense. But you have to go do it. Watch this. They brought him bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain. So supernaturally, Elijah's provided for, not just once a day, but twice a day, more than enough. Other people are starving to death, and he's just provided for, not once a day, but twice a day. How did it happen? He heard the wisdom of the Lord. He followed the wisdom. And watch this. He didn't just get enough. He got more than enough. And then the brook dries up. And I would be like, come on, God. The brook is gone. See, I knew this wasn't going to work. But no, Elijah's like, God ain't done. So what God does then, in verse 8, then the word of the Lord comes to Elijah again. Watch this. What comes to take care of his provision? A word. Watch this. A word comes, and verse 9, arise. Now it's time for you to leave that brook at Cherith. Go to Zarephath. Zarephath. Some of y'all will be like, ugh, why? Don't nobody want to go to Zarephath? It's even hard to say. That don't even make logical sense. How ridiculous is it that God would give me this instruction to now go to Zarephath? I mean, really, God, why I got to go there? We start complaining all over again. And he says, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And then here's where it gets a little shaky. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. A widow? Now, God, that's going to make me look bad. You can't give a king or a businessman or somebody to provide. You got to go send me. Widows were the poorest of the poor because widows didn't have, they couldn't work. They didn't have a way to provide for themselves. So you going to send me to somebody poor, and you going to tell them that poor person going to provide for me? And watch this. God says, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. That means I spoke over a widow. Look, I spoke over somebody poor to provide provision for you. Now, you got to think about it. If he spoke over somebody poor to provide enough provision for you, he probably provided and will provide enough provision for the poor person, too. So what Elijah do? He ain't like us. He did what God said. He goes to Zarephath, because I imagine the people who didn't do what God said didn't make it in the Bible very much. Just my thought. So he goes to Zarephath, and when he sees the widow, he does the same thing. He gives her instructions too. Watch this. Elijah shows up, meets the widow and he starts talking to the widow. Why? Because the widow, her husband was a man of God, and they were in covenant with the Lord. And because they had a covenant with the Lord, God had a promise that he would provide. And watch this. So when he shows up, check this out. He shows up, goes to the widow, and he tells the widow, please bring me a little cup of water that I may drink. And he tells her, go make a cake for me. Make a cake for me. Go to verse 12. Watch this. Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Right? Watch this, verse 12. She said, as the Lord lives, I ain't got no bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little joil of oil. And she said, my plan is to go eat a couple of this, let my kids have it, and let's die. And you know what instruction he gave her? Watch this, verse 13. Check this out. Check this out. He says, don't fear. Make me a small cake first. You know what that's the principle of? Tithing. You go give me a little piece of which, but I ain't got nothing, God. I don't care what you ain't got. Break me off my piece first. Watch this. And that meal and that oil provided for her throughout the whole drought. How did she get her provision met? Through a word. She got a word from the man of God. She went and did it. And the Bible says, and her household ate for many days. It's all over the Bible. Let me give you another example. That was Old Testament because I ain't done. I just want to show you this so you can get excited. Are you getting excited yet? Matthew 17:24. I like this one. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? How many of y'all got IRS problems? Don't raise your hand. He said, yes, my teacher pays the temple tax. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, well, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or strangers? So he said, from the strangers. So Jesus was like, look, what do you think? The temple tax, we belong to the temple of God. We're going to pay the tax. He says, verse 27, nevertheless, lest we offend them. Look, here's the instruction. Go to the sea. This is some wild stuff. Cast a hook and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you're going to find a piece of money. And take that and you give it to them for me and you. Peter's like, hold up. You want me to go? He didn't say put bait on the hook. He said just take a hook, throw it in the water, catch a fish. First of all, what fish you going to catch with a blank hook? But when you catch one, open his mouth and you're going to find money in it. And some of y'all are like, see, there you go. Money is the answer to the problem. No, it was the word from the Lord. Watch this. How did the provision come? From instructions. The process sounds ridiculous. And I'm not saying to you that you have to do something ridiculous to see God provide radically for you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you have to do if you have to listen to what God says. And do what God says, even if it sounds ridiculous. And some of you are like, but you're like, I don't know, God. I don't know if I have that kind of faith. And God is like, that's okay. If you don't have that kind of faith, you just won't see the supernatural provision. The choice is yours. Some people get crazy with this, and they're like, all right, God, I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm quitting my job. Let me tell you something. Don't just be quitting your job because you're like, we got to do something ridiculous for God to get some. Let me tell you something. You quit your job when God tells you to quit. Don't quit it a moment earlier. Don't do nothing different. Because some of us are out here doing some stuff, talking about God about to do something supernatural, and God didn't tell you to do some of the crazy stuff you're doing. The key is to honor the Lord. Lord, you are my provider. You always know what to do. I come bringing my tithes and my offerings to honor you, and you promise to open the window of heaven for me and pour out such a blessing. Give me the instruction. Tell me what to do. Then I'll follow it. And although it may not seem like anything spectacular is happening, bam, something's going on. I'm going to give you one more. I got like five more, but I'll only give you one more. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. This is where I'm going to close. Luke 5, 4 says this. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, look, we've toiled all night long and we didn't catch anything. I tried that already. Have you ever said that to God? Well, we tried that and that didn't work. But you know what Peter said? Simon Peter said, nevertheless. See, it won't work unless the Lord says to do it. But now that the Lord is saying to do it, now it's going to work. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Same boat, same lake, same people, same day, same time. No buzz, no sirens, no sparks, except, hey, come help me, I got too many fish over here. Because the Bible said they had so many, they had to yell at their neighboring boat to come help them get the fish in. Get over here, we got a big catch. They had never caught anything like that before. What was the difference? Instruction. How did provision come? Instruction. Man, it's all over the Bible. The people were hungry. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Man, it's 5,000 folks plus women and children. That's like 10,000. We ain't got no food. He says, you give them something to eat. Well, all we got is the two fish and five loaves. Some of y'all are talking about, well, God, I can't do. When I start thinking about what we don't have and we talk about Christmas for San Jose, well, God, we don't have a lot of people in church to manage all this. God, we don't have a lot of money. God said, I don't care what you say. Two fish and five loaves. Go do what I told you to do. And watch me work. I tell the two fish and five loaves story quite a bit because it was probably the most evident of that particular miracle I'd ever seen was this year at Easter. When at Easter time, we had about 400 people or 500 people registered for our Easter for San Jose event, which was we held at Lake Cunningham. And we didn't know, but somehow, we have no idea how this happened. Anna Maria was coordinating that and leading that effort, and she went to Costco and bought 250 hamburgers and 250 hot dogs. Was it 250, Anna Maria? 250 hamburgers, 250 hot dogs. So that's 500 people, because we said you get a hamburger or a hot dog. You can't have, don't be asking for both. Anybody got to, it's free food. And so we figured, well, we got about 500 people registered. We should be able to take care of that. But then what happened about 2 days before Easter for San Jose, somebody spotted and said, they're running this ad for Easter for San Jose on the news, like telling people, here's what you can do for the Easter season. Go to Easter for San Jose. Like the news. We were like, shut up. And we had closed registration. So we're like, gosh, we don't know how many people got to show. Well, it was just one ad. Maybe nobody saw it. Then they ran it for like a whole day. Like every newscast, morning, noon, night. I was like, oh, Jesus. And Anna Maria was like, do I need to go buy more? I was like, nope. I said, we're going to be all right. We showed up. And that day, there were over 700 people in the park who came. And we gave them all wristbands. So we know we had 700 people. And we clipped the wristbands. And I know because I clipped at least 150. Watch this, watch this. The lines were long, and I kept saying, Jesus, you shall provide. You shall provide. And Maria was like, I don't know if we're going to make it. I said, two fish and five loaves, baby, two fish and five loaves. We got this, we got this. All day, she kept saying, Pastor, I'm a little concerned. I said, look, girl, two fish and five loaves. And we didn't know. We didn't know. And it was literally Stephen was telling us the testimony yesterday out there or last week. And he was like, I was on the grill making burgers. And he said, I kept thinking we were out of burgers. And every time I said there's no more burgers, somebody said, here's another box. And he said, no, we're done. That was the last box of burgers. No, here's another box of burgers. He's like, no, it's got to be the last. No, here's another box of burgers. And what happened was, and you heard Ellie tell the testimony, not only did we have two fish and five loaves, not only did we have enough food to feed the 700, come on somebody, there were more people left over in the park who were homeless. We fed them, and we had trays, aluminum pans full of food that we took home from the event. Two fish and five loaves. How did it happen? God said, go to the park, and you do this program for the community. And I said, okay, God. And the church said, okay, God. And people said, I'll volunteer. And people said, I'll come. And I said, God, I don't know how we're going to do it. And he said, I don't care. I didn't ask you how. I asked you to go do it. And when we did it, I looked up and lines of people were there. And I was going, oh, God, you're good that they're here. And he was saying, hold up, baby girl. I'm not done. I'm not only going to feed them with food. I'm going to feed them with the word. And I think we had something like 70 plus people give their life to Jesus Christ over that weekend. We specialize in this church in supernatural provision. We specialize in this church in being a church that will hear from God and do what God tells us to do. We are a people of Rohi Christian Church where supernatural provision happens constantly in our lives. We are not normal. We are God's covenanted children. We are the ones who see blessings supernaturally. I'm telling you, we're not like everybody else. So when they show up and they see it, it ain't but like 20 people in this church. How do y'all do that? You know what I say? I don't know. I just did what God told me to do. I just do what he tells me to do. God asked you to be a part of this church. Not just so you can come in and sit down and say, this is a good word. God asked you to be a part of this church, and he said, jump in, get involved. Because if you get involved, I'm going to show you supernaturally not only what I'll do through the church, but what I'm trying to do in you. Somebody attached to you needs to see the supernatural provision on your life. When they ask you, how did that happen? You'll say, I just came to Jesus and I heard what he told me to do and I did it. Because most people will say, well, if I do what you did, won't it happen for me? It don't happen like that. You got to go to Jesus and you got to hear from him. And you got, well, I don't know how to go to Jesus. Well, that's okay. That's what I'm here for. Let me help you learn how to come to him and teach you how to hear it. And teach you how to do it. Because if you get that, supernatural provision will always follow you too. Come on, stand to your feet. I have so many testimonies and so many times this has happened in my life. I've had this happen and I haven't had a need. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. When you have a need, it feels like it's more pronounced. But I came to God about a year and a half ago. And God gave me a word, a supernatural word. He told me to do one thing. And I said, God, I won't do that. And I fought him for 6 months. But I praise God, he chases me down. Come on, some of y'all ought to get glad. Some of the words that he gave you that you put aside, I hear the Lord saying, those words still are active for you. Just do what I told you. I followed 6 months later. I did what God told me to do. And I ended up this year, I looked at my numbers. I made more this year than I've ever made in my entire life. This has been the most productive year for me financially that has ever been in my entire life. And it came because I did that one thing God said. He said, go do this. And I did it. Look here. Somebody called me the other day and I said, I heard it's working for you. I should do that too. I said, don't do it because it worked for me. Because my story is between me and Jesus. I said, you better ask God, God, do you want me to do this? I said, because there's a lot of people who've done what I've done and have not seen the results that I've seen because it wasn't about doing that. It was about doing what he said. What did he tell you to do? That's why we took a moment in worship to say, God, speak to me. And if you feel like you didn't hear anything, it's all right. One thing I know, the Bible says, if you'll come to me and seek me, I'll speak. Call to me, and I will show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I will speak to you. What do I want you to do today? I ain't got no altar call. The altar call's in your heart. What is God telling you to do? If you'll say yes, lift your hand. Say, I'll do it, God. So I'm praying for you. Father, I thank you for every person with their hand lifted. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking a word that you have spoken and that you will continue to speak to them. Now, Lord, put a fire in our heart like Jeremiah that's shut up in our bones, and it just won't leave us alone until we go do what you told us to do. I believe there is a supernatural provision of health. I hear the Lord speaking right now. Somebody has been struggling with something in their health for far too long, and God says, you've been seeking the doctors, you've been seeking Google, you've been seeking. I hear the Lord says, some of y'all is weight loss too. I'm not saying for everybody, but some of you, you know that you need to lose weight to be healthy, and you've been struggling for a long time and you don't know how to do it. God says, if you come to me, I will speak a supernatural word to you, and I will tell you what you need to do right now in this season. And watch this. I will release for you a supernatural provision of health. Look, what did he say? Wealth, riches, and honor in one hand. Watch this. Long life is in the other. Some of you, it's not about money. Some of you, it's about health. I declare over you that God is going to speak to you, that you will know, and you will do what God is telling you to do to release that supernatural provision of health in your life. I declare 2019 will be the healthiest year of this church. We will be healthy spiritually. We're going to be some people who are founded and rooted in the Word of God like never before. I declare that we're going to be the healthiest people physically. I declare people are going to come in this church and say, why is nobody in this church sick? And why do they all look so good? They got the healthiest group of folks I ever seen at that church. Watch this. We're going to be in the healthiest position financially. Well, I declare supernatural release of debt over some people this year in 2019. I declare that 2019 will be your best year financially, that your income will grow greater than it's ever been. Watch this. We will be the healthiest people in our relationships. Families will be healed and restored. Marriage is healed. In every aspect of our lives, I speak health because we're coming to Jesus, hearing his word, and we're doing it. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. Now, if you receive that word, I want you to respond with a big old round of hallelujah, yes, and amen, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I dismiss you in the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day, everybody.